This is Susie, everyone. Where would you normally be on a Sunday morning, Susie?
I would normally be worshipping at the community church in Putney, which is it's a Baptist church. It has origins in the Baptist Communion of Churches. But we come under the New Frontiers. I don't know if you ever heard of New Frontiers.
Well, we know New Frontiers,
group of
churches.
Yeah. So we're a New Frontiers church, but we are a Baptist church, and my husband is one of the pastors there.
Oh, fantastic. So, yeah. Our local church, I mentioned Chris Justice earlier, and he's a Baptist, a retired Baptist pastor, but in the Beaconsfield Baptist Church, which is also New Frontiers,
part of New Frontiers. Yeah.
We've got very close associations in that way. Well, it's very kind of you to wrench yourself away from there and join us here this morning. Is Putney Community Church in good spirit, good heart?
It really is, actually. We really sense that God's doing something extraordinary in us at the moment. We're a very multicultural church. We've got 16 different nations that worship at our church. That's not unusual in London. It's the demography of London. So we have people from all over the world who come and worship and learn and are discipled through the church. But we've just noticed in the last few months, we've been investing a lot in prayer.
Yeah.
And we've been doing literally whole weekends of prayer where we pray through the entire weekend, day and night, take it in turns, you know. And really praying for Holy Spirit to be enlivening us and to have us ready for what he wants now in this time, in this wonderful time of opportunity in our nation. And so the Holy Spirit is honoring that. And our worship life has absolutely taken off. It's spectacular. We actually can't stop worshiping on a Sunday. In fact, we can't stop the services on a Sunday. People don't want to go.
What, you don't finish at 12 o'clock?
No, we don't finish at 12. Well, we try to finish at 12. Obviously, there are children, so we try to keep them. But it is just lovely that there is just this desire to keep on worshiping and meeting together as well.
Yeah.
And a real hunger to let people know about Jesus as well. So people are literally going out onto the streets and they're going to their friends. And so it's a very exciting time to be serving
and
in
And you
that
would
church.
Identify that sort of rooted in the prayer life of the church. Prayer doesn't just seek God for something. It actually creates hunger in those people that pray.
Definitely.
I think we could learn
and God honours prayer. You know, he takes prayer so literally. It is the absolute lifeline of the church. Yeah. You know, it's the oxygen. Yeah. Holy Spirit is the oxygen of the church. Yeah. But, you know, I love the way that God, he more than honours it. He says, I'll just take that little and I'll do a lot. So
there you are, folks.
Yeah.
We
have our struggles. We can learn. Don't get me wrong.
Have no doubt. That's good. Do you have family, Susie?
I have a wonderful husband.
I don't mean another one. I mean, there is another wonderful husband. Yeah. I'm sure there are a few here.
I have the best husband in the world, by the way.
No. My wife said that to me the other day. How can that be?
And I'm married to Jeremy, and we've been married for 25 years. I don't have children, but I'm passionate about children, and in a sense, when I got married, actually, it was really funny because our pastor at the time said, I've got a word for you, and the word is that you're going to have hundreds of children.
Hallelujah.
And my mum's eyes popped out of stalks, and I just looked, my husband looked alarmed. But it's really funny, through the Bethany Children's Trust, I think we have had, thousands of children, actually.
So, well, we're going to hear a little bit about that. This church here, we've had quite a year so far already of focus on things going on in Africa. A number of us went out to Ghana earlier this year, and we're connected to something in Ghana. We're also connected to an organisation, a charity founded here that provides fresh water in Western Africa.
Wonderful.
And individuals are involved in all sorts. So we've had quite a thing about Africa. And I have to say, I was looking forward to this morning. This is a personal thing, but to get away from the... You know, one of the things that Steve Gaukroger said on Sunday evening, and he said before in his lecture here, was that this whole discussion about Brexit has actually taken our eye off the really important things. And I think this morning is about a really important thing. And although those discussions are good and important, actually this is, you know, talking about the world that God really loves. And I was thrilled that it coincided with your being here today. So we're, and at Christmas last year, I did mention this, that it may have forgotten, but the church gave a very small gift to the Bethany Children's Trust out of our Christmas sort of giving. And we felt it was right
to
invite
so
Susie along just to share a bit more. But she's also, as I say, picking up that theme of the work of the Holy Spirit. So tell us, Susie, you set up BCT 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Where is it based?
It's, we're based in London, but we work into different African nations. So we're working in the Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda, Zambia. And through our work, we also, we've birthed out of the Bethany Children's Trust is another organization called Stop Child Witch Accusations, which I also chair that and run that. Stop Child Witch Accusations.
Stop Child Witch, as in W-I-T-C-H, not W-H-I-C-H. Yeah.
And right. So through that, we're working in many different African nations. And so, we're enjoying our 20th anniversary this year, started
Amazing.
20 years ago.
And
it's just been extraordinary. We've... we actually mobilised the church and trained churches to care for and to reach out to children at risk in their communities, in the different nations in which we work. And then, so we mobilise through training, we produce training resources that are biblically based, that address the roots of abuse, because there's no point in just caring for the outcomes of abuse. You've actually got to get to the roots of it and start to root it out.
Absolutely.
So our trainings, like, literally address it. We do very contextually relevant training, relevant to the worldviews and the local cultures. We learn about them. We're immersed in them. And then we do this training of churches to lead the way in being able to change the climate in their societies so that children can be cared for and kept safe. And so we're working with children living with HIV disease, children living with disability, children accused of being witches, children who are sexually abused, a whole range of issues. And we try to work in areas where others are not working. And the Bethany Children's Trust comes alongside local church-led projects, and we strengthen them through being serving them, really. We don't run the projects because we believe they're the best people to run the projects. They know their own culture, they know their own context best. But we come along and we train them and teach them in childcare, child protection, a whole range of teaching that we input into them, good project management and development, and we help them to take their projects from a little tiny entity to multiply across a region. And we pray for them, we befriend them, we walk with them, we learn from them, and we do give them some finance, but the main thing is walking with them, learning and giving them guidance, counsel, advice and training.
It's amazing.
And we just see things just going across nations that way.
Where, I mean, I'm sure that you didn't do all of that up from day one. I'm sure it's grown over 20 years into what it is now, which is absolutely wonderful. But how did it begin? How on earth did you find yourself starting this charity?
So in the beginning, I started life as a nurse. I was a palliative care nurse, care of the dying. And then I went into specialising in caring for those who were dying of AIDS, who lived with HIV disease, and then grew to acquire different AIDS-defining illnesses and ultimately died from AIDS. So I was a sister at Charing Cross Hospital in London. Mm-hmm. And then I went to work with a Christian organisation that's working in the communities with families and people living with AIDS and dying from AIDS. I had so many people dying in my arms. And I won a scholarship to go and see the context of how an African nation was coping with HIV disease. Now, bearing in mind this was back in the 90s, and I went and I was absolutely horrified. I mean, multiple thousands of adults were dying, leaving so many orphans, and I had my heart broken. It's a very long story. I don't have time to tell it in full now, but it is in the book.
I'm not plugging my book,
but seriously, if you want, it is an extraordinary... I say this in all humility. It's a story of an amazing story of God, what God has done. There's multiple stories in there of what God has done. So what happened was I went to Zimbabwe, came back. My husband and I were just dating at that time. I think he was worried that he was going to lose me to Africa, so he asked me to marry him straight away. I never told him what was happening in my heart in terms of I believe God was calling me back to work in Africa. And it was just amazing. Long, long story. Have to cut it short now. But basically, about 2 years later, my husband and I ended up going to live and work in Zimbabwe in a rural area, where at the time he was a pharmacist developing the pharmaceutical services. And I ended up setting up a community-based orphan care program where initially we had 2,000 orphans. And by the time we left 4 years later, we were helping to support 6,000 orphans through community-based care, literally mobilizing the church to become surrogate aunties and uncles and mums and dads for these orphans. And I came back and I had a picture. God gave me a picture. Because I came back kicking and screaming. I said, God, is that it? Why have you brought us back? Mm. And it was to train my husband as a church pastor. But God said, oh no, that was just the beginning. And he had me setting up the Bethany Children's Trust. Mm. And since then, it's grown and grown, but it's all in the book.
It's all in the book. And it's fair to say you've bought some stuff with you. I saw on the way in, I haven't had a good look at it, but there's some books there. I saw some bags there that are for sale,
yes,
and stuff.
Yes, there's stuff. I'm going to be talking about one of the projects that we're helping to support in Rwanda, which is working with people living with HIV disease. And so everything out there has been made by the women, which generates income for them to be able to buy food and medicine for their children and get them to school and stuff. So, and we do have, obviously, literature about the Bethany Children's Trust. If you want to know more, the best way that you can, you know, get into relationship with us is about finding out more. So there's lots out there. And if you want to know more, do sign up and we'll...
Talk.
Start to, yeah, get into a relationship with you.
Good. Well, isn't that fascinating? We honour you and what you've done. I often think of the book of Acts. It's often described as the Acts of the Apostles, but
yeah.
It's better understood, isn't it, as the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And perhaps your book is the same. These are the Acts
definitely,
of the Holy Spirit in
definitely.
This place.
So, yeah.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing from you shortly. Thank you very much
indeed
for that. You've got your Bibles, if you turn to Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean?
Thank you so much for entrusting the word to me today.
quite a bold thing to do with somebody you've never met before. And I thank God for the privilege of being with you, amongst you, my family and friends today. It's always lovely to go and meet with the extended family that you haven't yet met. So I love it. Thank you so much. I'm going to pop that down there for now.
Book number two on please,
yeah. Thank you. So I just want to pray, and then I'm going to get into the Word of God, the exciting bit. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we worship you with all of our hearts and beings. Lord, we are lost in love and adoration of you for all that you have done in our lives. And Holy Spirit, we are here for you. I just pray now, Holy Spirit, that you will come and anoint me for this time, for this word. Let it not be my words, but your words. May you open our hearts, open my heart, and the heart of every person here to your living presence. Teach us, Lord, because we just want to become more and more like Jesus. Amen. And effective for you. We want to honor him with all of our lives. Lord, there's a world out there that's desperate to see people that are authentically demonstrating your love and your grace and your character here on earth. And Lord, we long to do that through your strength. So Holy Spirit, this is now your time. And we just put no limits on you this morning. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. I feel that some of what I was going to say has already been said this morning, which is lovely. Hopefully what I've got to say is going to build on that. So as we've already said, my talk today is entitled Living in the Presence and the Power of the Holy Spirit. And to be honest with you, 30 minutes is really insufficient time to do justice to such an incredible topic. When Josie said that would be the topic that I could speak on, I was just like, yummy, yummy, that is a theme so close to my heart. But I'm just going to scratch the surface. I intend to just share a little bit about this precious member of the Godhead and about how he has been at work in my life and that of the Bethany Children's Trust and our partner projects. And I believe that Pastor Andrew is going to continue to build on the teaching about the Holy Spirit in time to come. I think I've got that right, yeah?
We're in the middle of a series.
So. Wonderful. Yeah. So great for that. So the Holy Spirit is possibly one of the most neglected and misunderstood members of the Godhead. I think many of us are very comfortable with who God the Father is and with who Jesus Christ, his Son, is. But many are actually very ignorant of who the Holy Spirit is and what his role is. And some of us may think of the Holy Spirit as being an it rather than a person. And that was definitely my thinking. Way into my mid-20s, I was brought up in a very traditional Baptist church. I gave my life to Christ at 14 years of age. And until my mid-20s, I had never heard about the Holy Spirit or heard him preach from the pulpit, if you like. So he was a bit of a mystery to me. And to me, he was a bit of an add-on. It was like, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, it was like, I didn't really think of him. If I thought of him at all, he was definitely a bit of an add-on. So some may be afraid of the Holy Spirit and try to keep him at arm's length. I think people are afraid that if we allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives as he would like to, then we're going to lose all control and what's going to happen to us. And there's some fear about that. And yet, without a genuine and close relationship with the Holy Spirit and an openness to allowing his presence and his power to be at work in our lives and in our church, we as Christians strive to be Christ-like and effectful and fruitful in our individual lives and in our ministries. We strive to do that in our own strength, which is actually doomed to failure right from the very start. Before I want go any further, I want to recommend a book to you. And it's called... Oh, hang on, have I gone the wrong way? Yep. Press the other one. Okay. Great, here we go. I'm on the right. It's the right. If anybody sees me fumbling, it's the right hand one. Just go right hand. So, I want to recommend this book to you. It's by Francis Chan, and it's called The Forgotten God: Reversing Our Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit. And I cannot recommend it to you enough. It's a beautiful book written beautifully. I love beautiful writing. I love books and reading. This is beautifully written. And it really covers who the Holy Spirit is and addresses some of the fears that people may have and teaches all about the Holy Spirit. It's completely Bible-based. And I can't recommend it enough to you. I would just say, go home, get onto the internet and order yourself a copy if you are hungry to know more about the person of the Holy Spirit. There's no other reason. I mean, that I'm sharing this with you other than I've just found it so helpful myself. So perhaps you just pop that down there to get it out the way now. Thank you very much. But Francis Chan, who wrote this book, he said this: without him, the Holy Spirit, people operate in their own strength and only accomplish human-sized results. The world is not moved by love or actions that are of human creation. And the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers live in the power of the Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but notice. Oof. Yeah. I want to be that kind of church. I want to be part of that kind of church, don't you?
I do.
That excites me. That really excites me. I actually have to try not to get excited, because when I get excited, I get carried away and I go on a lot. So keeping the excitement in, reining it in. When people look at us, do they think, wow?
Just let me try, because it's flashing behind you. So
okay, cool.
It might not be there. Sorry to interrupt.
When people look at us, do they think, wow, these guys are different? It can only be God in their lives. When people look at you, do they think, that woman, there's something about her, I just cannot put my hands on it, she's utterly distinctive. But there's something about her, and what I want what she's got. Or I want what he's got. Is there evidence of the supernatural working of the empowering of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our church, as evidenced by a disposition to wholeheartedly worship God, to radically love him and others, to obey and serve him with all that we've got, and that we're a people that cannot help but share about him and talk about him with others? Are we being fruitful in our Christian lives and witness? And we don't have to feel, you know, I'm not being sort of like making you feel bad here this morning. If your answer to that is no, that's good in a way that we recognize that, because something can be done about it. Because the Holy Spirit wants to come and vitalize our Christian walk today and our Christian witness and vitalize our relationship with him today. on June the 9th this year, we celebrate Pentecost, and we remember when the Holy Spirit was first poured out upon the followers of Christ, as we heard about in the reading that Pastor Andrew read earlier, which I won't repeat again. And you'll recall that before he ascended into heaven, Jesus promised his disciples that although he was leaving them in a physical sense, he would send another counselor, a helper, as we've already said, who would never ever leave them. And in John 14, verse 7, Jesus explains, he is the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. So he's going to reveal mysteries. He's going to reveal things that I haven't even been able to reveal to you yet. Greater things you're going to be able to do than even I have done, because I'm sending the Spirit to be with you. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Christ says, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. He promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, in that sense, baptism, it comes from the Greek word baptizo, and it means fully immersed. Fully immersed. You will be fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. Many of those guys had already been baptized, as I assume many of us here in this room, we've been physically baptized into water as a witness of our following Christ, death to our old life, rising again in Christ. And but God talks about a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is so exciting. Jesus promises this. And then further down in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read Christ saying, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. So he's promising that they are going to become a power-filled people. They're just ordinary guys like you and I. But he promises when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they're going to have a supernatural power, a divine power that is a gift that comes from him. And they're going to want to be his witnesses, telling other people about him everywhere in the known world at that time, which was Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and ultimately to the ends of the earth. And they did a good job of it, because we're here today. Pretty good job. So at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, God then pours out his Spirit upon a gathering of his disciples in an extraordinarily dramatic way, as you will know. Tongues of fire come upon them. There's a sound of a roaring wind. I mean, awesome. That's only ever happened once to me, when I was in Uganda, stood up to preach, and it was absolutely still outside, and this wind just blew through the room we were in. Woof. Awesome. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit, and words came out. Anyway, I can't go into it. I'm going to be distracted. So the Holy Spirit comes through in this wonderfully dramatic way, and things were never, ever the same after that. And if you want things to stay the same, keep the Holy Spirit at arm's length. But if you don't want things to stay the same, and let's be praying for more of the Holy Spirit. Who wants the same? Who wants just to go through the same old motions? I don't want to. I want to know God more. I want to know Jesus more. I want more of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want things never to be the same every day of my life. I want to walk out afresh with him. The disciples, if you recall, they were transformed from fearful, very understandably fearful men and women. They'd just seen what had been done to their leader, to the one that they believed in. He'd been strung up on a cross, horrifically executed, horrifically tortured before his execution, and died. And yes, he had rose again. They had seen it with their own eyes, but they were fearful, very fearful, and they stayed locked away. But after the Holy Spirit comes, there is an extraordinary change in them. They are bold, they become bold, they become fearless, fearlessly sharing the news about Jesus Christ, no matter what. They were unstoppable. Nothing could stop them. You cannot stop us speaking about him. You can do what you like. We will not stop speaking about Christ. But not only that, they weren't just bold, but they had their hearts changed beautifully. They had heart surgery, if you like. The Holy Spirit changed their hearts. I just want to read Acts chapter 2, verses 44 to 45, a passage that you'll be very, very familiar with. Actually, that's not even the right. It's Acts chapter 2, 44 to 45. Make sure I've got the right one. Yes, it says this. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Shared everything they had. Now, to just stop there, that to me is a challenge. Would you share everything? There's always things you hold back, your favourite this, your favourite that. They shared everything they had. They sold their property and their possessions. I mean, get that. And these guys were not rich. They were ordinary people. If you had a house, you know, that must have been a massive privilege. They were just fishermen, people like that. Sold their houses and their possessions. Would we do that? Would I do that? And they shared the money with everyone in need, gave it away. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in each other's homes to share the Lord's Supper. They had this passion for worship. They couldn't stop worshipping. And they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day, not surprisingly, because they were so countercultural, so distinctive, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Wow! I want that, Lord. I want that kind of church. That's the kind of church I want to belong to. They became radically generous, sharing their lives and their possessions and supporting those in need. And they became passionate about worshiping and praising God. And they had these wonderful hallmarks of joy and generosity and unity, unity. So those who had previously been separated by language and racial and religious and socioeconomic differences became united. The Holy Spirit brings unity. The Holy Spirit brings unity. He brings generosity. He causes you to love. He causes you to look outside of yourself and to prefer the other. And of course, throughout, as Pastor Andrew said, the book of Acts, amazing book about what the apostles went on to do, all the, you know, healings, healing the sick and such like, and supernatural manifestations of the Spirit's power amongst them. And I would have a problem with that if they hadn't had their hearts transformed first. But because they were authentic, they were genuine, they coming out of a heart of love, and they were authentically demonstrating the character of Christ. And because of that, God was blessing them to be able to do these things that human beings could not previously do. And so obviously Christ's followers become so distinctive and so attractive as they demonstrate the life and the character of Jesus Christ that literally thousands of people are added to their numbers. You couldn't even hold the numbers in. When I became a Christian, it was definitely the work of the Holy Spirit. It is only the Holy Spirit who can regenerate our dead soul, our dead spirits. He brings what was previously dead to God alive. So that is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us rebirth. And it was definitely the Holy Spirit who came into my life when I was 14 years of age, and he totally turned my life around. I come from a non-Christian family. I have a very, very big family, a divorced family. So I've got, you know, stepsisters and all sorts. We've a very large tribe, my tribe. But the only Christians in my family are my twin sister and myself and two girl cousins. So my parents were horrified when I became a Christian, as was the rest of my family. They put a lot of clamps on me, didn't want me to develop that. But previous to that, I was a God hater. I can genuinely say I was a God hater. I hated God, wanted nothing to do with him. I'd learnt very well from my parents, cynicism against God. But literally overnight, and again, the story's in the book, I mean, it was extraordinary. It was extraordinary. The Holy Spirit came upon me in such power, he utterly ruined me. He broke my heart. He undid me. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And I was never the same again. I was never the same again. He had me running to Christ. I tell you, the tears at that time, I had snot coming out of my nose. I was on the floor weeping and bawling my eyes out. It was extraordinary. And there was a very big personal change in me. I had heart surgery. But it wasn't until about 12 years later that I learned about the person of the Holy Spirit. And I asked him to fill me afresh and anew with his living presence. And it's something I haven't stopped doing every single day ever since. And as a consequence, my relationship with Jesus Christ became so much deeper. My Bible reading and my prayer life came alive as never before. The Holy Spirit was just teaching me things that I would never have understood before when I read the Bible. I had a much greater strength to walk by faith. I started really stepping out and doing things. If the Holy Spirit said, do it, I did it. There was a much greater passion for holiness. I wanted holiness in my life. The Holy Spirit brings holiness. He enables us to be more and more like Jesus. And I wanted to live more and more in a way that honors Christ. And I developed a real zeal for justice and a real passion to care for the poor. He just grew that in my heart like nothing else. And the other thing was that I had suffered from terrible nightmares since I was a little child. And that day when I asked for the Holy Spirit to come and fill me, from that day on, I have never had one of those nightmares again. I never even asked for those nightmares to go. They were just healed. He just did that stuff. And he's done other stuff since then that I don't have time to share with you. I became able to hear the voice of God inside me as never before. It's like we became in tune with each other. It was like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Susie in the inner circle, you know? It was like, wow, I can... And it's like, was that me saying that? And so many times now, particularly with the ministry that I'm doing now, I hear the voice of God and just obey and follow it. And I developed a real passion for his presence. Can't get enough of him, really. And I was able to pray in much greater authority. And I was blessed with the gift of being able to speak in tongues from that time, which was such a release from my prayer life, because I'd get to the point of saying to Jesus how beautiful he was and how wonderful he was, and my heart was overflowing, then I'd run out of words. And that's when the Holy Spirit can just let me carry on praising him, just in the gifts, the language of the Holy Spirit. So where the Holy Spirit is welcomed, when we ask for more of his presence in our lives, he comes. He loves that. He loves that request. And he comes and transforms our lives in ministries in wonderful ways that defy any other explanation than that God has moved in us. You know, you can't just say, well, this was down to meditation or this was down to human effort. No, it's so patently, obviously God at work. So as an example, let me now share about how the Holy Spirit is moving in the work of the Bethany Children's Trust, which we alluded to before, and about the transforming impact of his work. So the Bethany Children's Trust is deeply rooted in prayer, and we constantly ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and to show us the next steps. And it was the Holy Spirit who gave us our vision 20 years ago, which is to see the Christian church leading the way in building a local and global society where every child in the world is loved and valued and nurtured and kept safe and free to reach their God-given potential. Literally, that vision came almost like a download, and God, Holy Spirit was sharing how that would work its way out. And it's the Holy Spirit who gives us and our partners the strategy, wisdom, and the power to do what we do against all the odds. In his book, another book that I would recommend to you actually, Experience the Impossible, Bill Johnson, he's the author, and he writes this: "It is a grave mistake to think the Holy Spirit is amongst us simply to comfort or to encourage us, because that's a given. He is also present to make possible the impossible task in front of us." He is present to make possible the impossible task in front of us. And Bethany Children's has a ridiculously impossible vision. And without the Holy Spirit, we're going to come nowhere near achieving it. We're a small charity with very, very limited human and financial resources. And yet, I can honestly say that during the 20 years of our existence, the Holy Spirit has made possible the impossible task in front of us. We have gone into crazy places. We have done work where it's so dangerous to go in. It's nuts to go into those places and do the things that God has led us to do. And we have seen whole communities turned around, families turned around, hearts turned around. And that's not just because somebody's passionate about something. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have been enabled, us and our project partners, to touch and transform the lives of multiple thousands of children and their families through 15 different projects in 10 different nations over the period of time. So I just want to share with you, are you going to do the clicker thing? And I'm going to share with you what the Holy Spirit has been doing in just one of our project partners, which is called APRICOM, which is AIDS Prevention, Care and Outreach Ministry, which is working in different parts of Rwanda. And it is mobilizing churches and communities to care for and support the lives of children and youth who are affected by HIV disease, disability and other issues, supporting them and their families. One of the places that is working in is a place called Ruhuha in Bugesera. You may remember that Rwanda had a terrible genocide 25 years ago in which nearly 1 million people were slaughtered in 100 days. And I cannot even begin to describe to you the fallout from that in community relationships, as you can imagine, in the brokenness, in trauma in people's lives. And Bugesera was like an epicenter of that. It was when we first started working there 3 years ago, the legacy of the genocide was very, very evident. So there was a lot of HIV disease because rape was used as a weapon of war and people had displaced to other countries and all sorts of things happened in these kind of situations and circumstances. So there's a lot of HIV, a lot of people HIV positive, and consequently also a lot of orphans from people dying. The children were not valued. It was just They were almost like seen as a nuisance. They were given very little care. I think the adults themselves were so traumatized anyway. They were unable to give their children the care that they deserved and the nurture that they deserved. And they weren't even valued in the churches. There weren't children in the churches. The children stayed at home looking after the cattle and everything while the parents went to church, if they went at all. And there was a lot of prostitution, people trying to make a living any way they could. And that's never judge people who have to get into the sex trade to survive. It's a gruesome way of making your living. And many women resorting to prostitution. And a real spirit of hopelessness, deep prejudice, judgmentalism, and division even in the church, sadly, and a lot of brokenness in marriage. You can imagine broken lives, broken marriages. So that was the situation that Apricom, we and our partners went into in just 3 years ago. So since then, Apricom has been working intensively with the church, and you can see some of the church leaders here, giving them teaching and training and input in reconciliation, unity, God's heart for children, child care, child protection, care of people living with HIV, prevention of violence. I mean, so many, we have whole themes that we train on, all Bible-based teaching, biblically underpinned, and praying for the Holy Spirit to come and bring healing in this community. Because we knew that we could train our socks off, but without the Holy Spirit, we weren't even going to scratch the surface of this brokenness. And I'm now going to share with you the outcome of that in just 3 years. So as a result, and the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to literally read the testimony of the church leaders. They say this: previously, we didn't know that churches could come together. There was so much pride, and we thought our church was the best. We never mixed as churches and church leaders, but now we are one. Unity of the Holy Spirit, a hallmark of the Holy Spirit, unity. We are unified. We love coming together and often meet to share encouragement, to worship together, and to work together in our communities. In the past, we thought that being church was just about turning up on a Sunday, singing some songs, reading the Bible, and then going home, feeling pleased with ourselves. Now we know that we are to bring the transformation of the gospel in action in our communities. We visit the sick to love and pray for them. We share what we have with the poor. We care for orphans, and we share the good news of Jesus. Many of our neighbors have come into a saving relationship with Christ. We run small saving schemes in our churches and give the money that we raise to the poor so that they can eat. Previously, we thought it was the job of the government to care for orphans and widows, but now we know we were wrong. God wants us, his people, to care for orphans and widows as that pleases him. And they say this extraordinary thing: the local orphanage is now practically empty because so many church leaders have now adopted orphans into their families. And the hands that you can see raised here when I was with these guys, they said, okay, who amongst you has actually adopted an orphan? And they just put up their hands, that and the next one as well, I think. So many of them just like, yeah, we've adopted these orphan children. And the orphanages are now having to close. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, my friends. I get excited about that. They say, before, there was a lot of conflict in our communities especially between husbands and wives. And this was also true in the church. So really, there was no difference in the church to outside of the church. Women were viewed as being inferior and had no voice. But now, get this, the divorce rate has gone down. Women are valued and respected and are given opportunities to share in their churches and communities. Our communities and families are now experiencing greater peace. Many people in our communities are now being saved. They say, look at these Christians and the good that they're doing. Even the local government leaders have come to us as church leaders and said, we see the change that you're bringing about in your communities. We appreciate you so much. And they regularly come to us for help and advice because they see us as a role model to help others. God, can you imagine if the government was coming to us? I mean, they need help, don't they? So, but isn't that amazing? And you know, when I read this, it immediately took me to what I just read you about what happened to the disciples and the way the church was transformed after the Holy Spirit came upon them. It just reminds me of that transformation where they were united in passion and purpose. They cared for the neediest. They lived generous lives, enjoyed the goodwill of people, and many were being saved. That is happening today, my friends, in Ruhuha, in Bugesera. Praise God. Amen. And in many other areas now, in Rwanda, where APICOM is working, and expecting the Holy Spirit to turn up, expecting the Holy Spirit to work, having a high expectation of what God can do. Of course he can do it. There is no doubt. God didn't suddenly become disabled. You know, he didn't pour out the Holy Spirit once and for all, and that was it. And when they all died, that was it. Everything stopped. No, he is the same Holy Spirit at work today. And these amazing changes and transformation in Ruhuha, definitely, they defy any human explanation. And I could have shared with you so many more stories, but I've got to finish. I know that I wouldn't be where I am today, and I know that the Bethany Children's Trust would not be where it is today without the empowering, gracious, amazing work of the Holy Spirit. But as I mentioned earlier, fear can so often hold some people back from allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way with them. I think some are afraid that nothing will happen if they pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill them in a new way. And some are afraid that the Holy Spirit will come and do something. And maybe they'll lose control and mess up their lives. And maybe he'll ask them to do things that they're not ready to do. And maybe he's going to just disturb the status quo of the church and the status quo of their lives. But who wants to keep in this status quo of paralysis? Nobody does. I don't want that. I want a church that's vibrantly filled and vibrantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And one thing I do know is that we can trust God. One thing I do know, as Pastor Andrew said, that the Holy Spirit is gentle. He does nothing for harm and everything for good. Everything for good. The Holy Spirit, filled with grace, motivated by love. He's never, ever going to harm us. He's never, ever going to hurt us. He's only ever has our best interests at heart. His most passionate desire is to bring glory to the Most High Christ. His most passionate desire is to open our eyes to him and our hearts to him and help us to become more like him and to enable us to fulfill our full potential as a church and as individuals. That's all he has at heart. So why would we want to hold back? Why would we not just go running and say, Holy Spirit, here am I, I'm on my knees. I want more of you. What are we holding on to anyway, actually? Is there anything that we're holding on to that's worth holding on to? Really? You know, I just want everything that the Holy Spirit's got come in my way. You know, I was reading about you before I came here, mainly because I had never heard of where Seer Green was. And I thought, where on earth is Seer Green? And then I got to your website and I learned that you used to have, not you as a church, but in Seer Green, there used to be these cherry orchards. And it was a place known for fruitfulness of cherries. Am I right? I'm not just making this up. But wouldn't it be amazing if Seer Green was renowned for the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't it be amazing if the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the faithfulness and the self-control of God's people was what Seer Green was renowned for? And that as you go out into Seer Green, you're passing on the love and the compassion and the grace and the mercy and the truth of the Holy Spirit. And so lives are transformed in your village. You know, these houses, I was sitting out there when you were rehearsing. I was praying for these houses and the people in these houses. They've all got situations. They need the Holy Spirit to come and bring release, to come and bring healing, to come and bring Jesus Christ into the heart of their lives so that their lives can be fruitful. Fruitful lives. Fruitfulness for Seer Green. And I thought, yeah, the cherries have gone. The cherries have gone. They're not. They don't have an eternal value. But this has an eternal value. We're building the kingdom of God, my friends. And so my passionate prayer here at Seer Green is that there will be a deepened thirst and passion for the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And his work in your lives as never before. And I really encourage you to set time aside for him. Don't have an agenda. Go home and wait for him. Ask for him. Ask him to come and fill your lives. Do that before you leave here today. I would just ask you, in reality, what is the evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives and in your ministry here? What is the evidence? And what fruit do you want to see? And let's claim that. Let's pray for that. Let's take hold of that as a people. In this nation today, we have no place for fruitless churches. We've got a fruitless government. We've got fruitless politicians. Now is the time for a church to stand up that truly reflects the character of Christ and his kingdom. We have a nation that is longing for that. It doesn't realize that, but it's what it needs, my friends. It's what it needs. I pray that you will go and pray for more of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will keep in step with him. And I pray that your individual lives and your work and your ministry will confound human logic. Will confound human logic and make people stand amazed as they see the work of Christ in you through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that he will move through you and break out through you into these homes and houses and villages and towns surrounding around about, and that this place will be transformed for Jesus Christ and his kingdom as a result. So let this be the time. Let this be the time for that. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you now hungry for you. We are hungry for you, Holy Spirit. We have got absolutely nothing to offer you except for our love and our hearts and our lives. And we lift them to you now. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, for my dear friends here. I want to pray for those that know something of you, that you will teach them even more about yourself, and that what you have started in them, that you will quicken and that you will bring alive and really breathe your life into them in even greater measure. For those, Lord, that are perhaps anxious or maybe a little bit fearful about you, I pray, Holy Spirit, come and reassure my dear, dear friends that you only ever work in love. You are love. You only ever work in grace. You only ever give us what is good. And I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, come, Holy Spirit, and fill and release your presence in every single heart here. Come and release, Lord, your truth in our lives as never before. I pray, Holy Spirit, that each and every one of us will grow in the love and the knowledge and the experience of you, Holy Spirit, in our lives. Holy Spirit, I pray, I just want to pray blessing upon my friends here, blessing to know you more deeply, blessing to walk in lives that are filled with your authority, Jesus Christ, blessing to be a people that brings hope and healing and transformation to the lives of the people in Seer Green. I pray, Holy Spirit, I want to call out now those giftings that are in this church. I want to call out the gift of the prophetic. I want to call out the gift of discernment, of wisdom, of words of knowledge. I want to pray, Holy Spirit, that there will be a release into a worship as never before, aided by those gifts of the Spirit, the languages of the Spirit. I pray for an anointing upon that. I pray, Lord, for an anointing for this, for my friends here. I pray, Lord, for the fruitfulness of love and compassion and grace and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control in my friends here and in myself. I pray for these gifts to be stirred as never before. I pray for gifts of hospitality and generosity. I pray, Lord God, that this church will be renowned as a generous church that just gives and gives and gives of itself to people, to those on the margins, to those that others are not bothered about. Giving of themselves, giving of what they've got, giving of their possessions. Yes, if it comes to it, giving of their homes and houses. Lord, I pray that we will be a radical church, rooted in you, immersed in you, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way, I pray, in me and in my friends. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.